of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Friends, without a doubt, we've had some challenging times. And in case you missed the most recent difficult news that I announced on the Assumption on Thursday, here's a recap and a letter from our bishop. After the state of New York lifted their statute of limitations last Wednesday, a man has made an allegation against our bishop from 40 years ago. It's made even more sad by the fact that it is certainly a false allegation, having already been investigated 15 years ago and found without merit, and investigated actually a second time. I'll let you read my letter that I have made available in the bulletin. But here's a message that the bishop has asked us to read to you. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as you know, a lawsuit has been filed against me alleging that I have committed a grievous act. The abuse of a child is despicable. This false accusation against me has no merit whatsoever. I have vigorously defended myself and will continue to do so. As this case moves forward, I remain your bishop. I will, however, temporarily reduce my public presence, as I do not want to distract the focus from the important ministries of the church in South Carolina, including creating safe environments for our children. I understand that these are challenging times for you, the faithful, and the coming days may be even more so. Please know that I am grateful for your prayers. St. Michael the Archangel, pray for us. In the Lord's peace, the Most Reverend Robert E. Guglielmone, Bishop of Charleston. I want to highlight a quote from Bishop Guglielmone's attorneys from the letter that is in the bulletin. These allegations are false, provably false. As the plaintiff admitted to a family member, he made this up in order to get money from the church. Quote, "It's worth a try," the plaintiff said. We will not allow these false allegations to tarnish the outstanding and selfless work the bishop has done throughout his life. Again, please read the letter that I provided for more. And although, even though false, after enduring so many other things, especially here in Aiken, we might feel demoralized, confused, even almost perhaps ashamed to tell people we are Catholic, especially with the questions non-Catholics sometimes ask or comments that they sometimes make. It's natural that we want to be proud of our faith. And I'll say that even now, you should be proud of the faith. Our faith is Jesus Christ, not based on any man, woman, or group of people who sin. G.K. Chesterton once said, "The church is justified not because her children do not sin, but because they do." We are a family, and our family is made up of young and old, rich and poor, men and women, sinners and saints. Why can you be proud of your faith? As Catholics, our faith drives us to do immense good. We, in fact, I've talked about this before, but want to throw it out there again. We started the hospital system. Before that, sick people used to just be lined up on the side of the road. That's where Jesus found them. We, in fact, today have over 5,500 hospitals in the world, 18,000 clinics, 16,000 homes for elderly and those with special needs, and 65% of these are located in underdeveloped and developing countries. And that figure doesn't contain the smaller scale charitable projects of more than 200,000 Catholic parishes around the world and those of religious orders. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, and we don't do it for money. We educate more children than any other scholarly or religious institution. In the United States alone, the Catholic Church educates 2.6 million students every day at a cost of $10 billion a year. We founded the university system, which we many have benefited from, and there's much, much more. Jesus says today that he has come to set the earth on fire. He has come to set us on fire. Then he says something strange. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, rather division. Why would the Prince of Peace say such a thing? Well, you and I will continue to do the work of Jesus Christ, and the evil one will continue to oppose it. People will continue to give in to his temptations. The devil works again by distraction and division, proclaiming our faith has always and will always make people choose. They have to make a choice. If you want a comfortable religion, you're in the wrong one. If you want a church filled with perfect people, join it and it will no longer be perfect because we're all sinners. Don't be distracted. Do not be distracted from the work that you and I are compelled by faith to do. The letter to the Hebrews reminds us that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, the saints. It's an invisible cloud, but they are there, the people who lived the faith, who transformed the world and made a difference. And so with them, as Hebrews said, let us rid ourselves of every burden of sin that clings to us and persevere in running the race that lies before us while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. The other day, someone said to me, Father, something really good must be about to happen because the devil is working overtime to stop it. And you know what? I think that's true. Our faith has 1.2 billion brothers and sisters around the globe. With them, you and I do tremendous good, and we are capable of even more. We are capable of setting the earth on fire with faith. So don't sit complacent, waiting for the church to do something for you. You and I are the church. We leave here commissioned by Jesus Christ to do for others, to transform the world for him. As I've said before, leave here today and become the saint you are called to be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us stand.